Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, over 2 years on from the start of the war, it's estimated some 100,000 Ukrainians have come to Ireland in the 2 years since, and many hope to be able to return home and resume their lives when the war ends. But for a significant percentage, they're likely to want to remain in Ireland, where they've now put down roots, taken up work opportunities and settled with their families. But will they be allowed to stay once the EU temporary directive runs out? Well, Brian O'Connell has been taking a look at this for us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Claire.
So, for now, there are supports in place until March of 2025.
Exactly, and this remains the EU-wide position for now. Latest stats show up until last week, almost 106,000 Ukrainians were granted temporary protection here since the war started. And probably you're looking at it, about 80% have remained. Many we know are in education, close to 20,000 children. Some 17,000 Ukrainians are in full-time employment, and close to about 25,000 are in some form of part-time employment as well.
And there have been some recent surveys now indicating that a fairly significant percentage might want to stay here long-term.
A recent survey by Ukrainian Action Ireland showed the numbers who plan to stay here is actually rising. So a previous survey was just at about 41%. It's now 53%, so you can see a significant increase. And while obviously Ukraine hopes to join the EU at some stage, in the meantime, the question does arise, what is the plan in terms of allowing Ukrainians stay if that EU temporary directive ends, which it's due to run out at the moment in March 2025? So will there be, for example, a visa waiver scheme? Should the Irish government now give some certainty to those Ukrainians who are living here and may wish to stay?
So you did ask the government about this, but you began by speaking to someone who's living in Cathair Savine.
Well, Cathair Savine is a really interesting case study, because at some point over the last 2 years, you could have had upwards of 40% of the population was Ukrainian. So, for example, Ukrainian children are playing GAA locally. Parents are working in hospitality. Some have opened businesses, including former video editor, a real change of career, Anna Krevenuk. She opened and she manages the Lazy Cat Cafe with her two business partners. They have put essentially their life savings into this business. They're very, very grateful for local support. But understandably, they'd like to know if they will now be able to remain beyond next March. They opened the cafe last July, and I asked Anna first how it's all going for her.
So far, so good. We survived this winter. As you know, Cathair Savine is a really small town, so not a lot of people. During the winter, there were zero tourists. Locals, they were absolutely amazing. They supported us. They keep supporting us. So,
do you worry about the future? Do you wonder how long you'll be able to stay in Ireland, for example?
Oh, absolutely. Like every year we're waiting, like, will we be allowed to stay here for another year? I know, like, a lot of people from my town, like from Cathair Savine, they're thinking about, we would like to stay because, like, the place we're living right now, like Cathair Savine is like the... it's like heaven, because people are very nice and it's like small town. So yeah, this uncertainty is just, it's not killing me, but it's just, it makes me feel anxious and stressed because I don't know what will happen tomorrow.
There may be a time in the future when Ukraine joins the EU, but that could be many years away.
We don't know when and if it will happen. Myself, I like 100% I want to stay here. We are trying to introduce Ukrainian culture, Ukrainian like desserts, Ukrainian coffee culture to locals and tourists too. I can understand how difficult it is for Irish government to figure out what to do with all of Ukrainians that came to Ireland. Like, I am a Ukrainian, yeah, and I would really love to know what will be next. Even I know people, they're just trying to survive and they're waiting for some changes like in Ukraine. But like a lot of people, they made a decision. They don't have anything left in Ukraine and they made a decision to stay here. So yeah, like from my point of view, I would really love to know like if there will be like any options for us.
So that's Anna running the Lazy Cat Cafe in Cathair Savine. And we know too, Brian, that the new arrivals from Ukraine, they are facing a different level of supports now.
there's been a change. So new arrivals seeking state accommodation are accommodated for a maximum of 90 days now. And during that time, they'll receive reduced income support payments if you make your accommodation arrangements on arrival. So you don't need state accommodation. You are entitled to apply for standard social protection assistance. Now, I spoke with Fiona Hurley, who's CEO of NOSC. They're the Migrant and Refugee Rights Centre. And I asked Fiona her assessment of the situation currently. And we also talked about that fact that Ukrainians who are coming here in recent weeks do have a very different experience to those who came here previously.
We're hoping to see the government give people some certainty. We understand that this will probably be part of a bigger European decision, but at national level, people really do feel the need to know what's likely to happen after March 2025. So we're seeing an increasing amount of queries to our Ukrainian language phone line service from people wondering what they should do next, or are there steps that they should take to prepare themselves. People are making big life decisions, whether to invest in a business or to look for a mortgage, or you know, to move counties, to look for a new job. And it's very difficult to make those decisions without knowing where they're likely to be come March or April next year. A lot of people have been here for 2 years now at this stage, and they've put down roots. Their children are in school, they're working, and they're trying to decide how they should plan for their lives going forward.
And we've had this before, haven't we? I think back to the Bosnian conflict, to the Syrian conflict.
Yes, and with the Syrian conflict, it was quite different because the majority of Syrians arriving here had refugee status. So they had certainty as to what their status would look like in the long term. Unfortunately, a lot of Ukrainians don't have that. That temporary protection that they have is only valid up until March 2025, and no decisions have been made about what happens after that.
People from Ukraine who have been coming here in recent weeks, compared to those who came here a year or two ago, Fiona, is the level of support available to them, and is their experience very different?
I'd agree that the experience is quite different for newly arriving Ukrainians. When people are living somewhere with the expectation that they will only be there for 90 days, they don't know what their future holds beyond 90 days. It's very difficult to integrate. So I think it's doing a disservice both to Ukrainians and to the communities that they're living in.
Now that's Fiona Hurley there. And you've also noticed, Brian, and I think a lot of people will have noticed this on accommodation pages online, that there are more and more Ukrainians looking for help and looking for rooms to rent.
Yeah, I've been looking at online forums where people are looking for homes or even rooms to rent. Just been looking this morning as well. And you can see more and more desperate posts asking for assistance for any rooms, people willing to consider moving anywhere, essentially. You know, they're not just looking in urban areas anymore, and offering in some cases top-up payments on top of the government assistance that they may be getting. So it will be worth keeping an eye on what does happen when those supports are withdrawn after 90 days for new arrivals now, or at least those supports are reduced. Before we hear what government had to say, when I asked whether certainty might be given to Ukrainians who may want to stay, I spoke with the Ukrainian ambassador to Ireland, Larissa Grasco, and she said she is aware of discussions happening around giving some certainty.
More people want to stay here, and you know, people more integrated into the Irish society. The Ukrainian government will encourage Ukrainian people to return to Ukraine. Of course, we need our people back, and in particular after the war.
And I know you've had some discussions with the Irish government, but do you think it would be useful? Like, we're not in an emergency situation anymore. This is now medium to long term, unfortunately.
You know, there are some discussions around this issue in Irish society. Do they need to impose the visa regime or not? Do our Ukrainians after the war or after the termination of temporary protection need to leave the country? To my information, which I got from the Irish government, they are working on a media or long-term program. I think those people who works and who want to stay here, I think they will stay.
So it's changed in recent weeks. The supports are less now for somebody arriving from Ukraine.
We will see what happened in 90 days. It's my of the biggest concern with accommodation, I mean.
Finally, are Ukrainians getting used to the Irish weather?
It's a challenge for all of us and for me. Yes.
It's a challenge for Irish people too, I can tell you, yeah.
And that's the Ukrainian ambassador, Larissa Goresko, there. And now, you did ask the government about this issue. What do they have to say?
I essentially asked, Claire, what is the medium to long-term plan now for Ukrainians who may wish to stay in Ireland? Now, the press office told me about the coordinated whole-of-government response to this issue. And they did point to the fact that there is an EU temporary protection directive that Ireland has signed up to, runs, as I said, until March 2025. That was an EU Council decision. What Ireland favours is a harmonised EU-wide approach to exiting temporary protection, and then they are continuing now to engage in the EU Commission on that to see what might be put in place in terms of immigration arrangements after that temporary protection runs out in March 2025.
Brian, thank you very much. That's Brian O'Connell reporting there. Up next, calls for more of those return recycling machines in rural areas.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.